Very nice to meet you again. Let's say a lot of you I've seen last year. And I'm really jealous that you have the opportunity to be here, so close to Harabai, to sit every day and learn it. It's a big privilege. I'm living in Susia, so it's far away. It's far in the south. I have to travel an hour with a car to come here. And I always am trying to find an excuse to come to Jerusalem. So this was a very good excuse to come to Jerusalem, to come to close to Harabai. So thank you that you're all here. I know that also I told last year my story. So it will basically the main parts will be the same, but on the other hand, it's not it's never the same, because there are so many things that happened in my life in my way out of Christianity that so every time there is some other aspects that I focus on. So there are certain things you don't have a choice in your life, and there are things that you have a choice in your life, an absolute free choice. The thing you don't have a choice about is where you're born, in which area, where you're born. And the things where what you have a choice about is what you're going to do after that. You have a choice. Every day you have a free choice. And as a person, you always ask, what is the right choice? And that was also in my life one of the main things. What is the right thing? And what is the and what's also the sense of being born in the world that I was born in a very Orthodox Protestant world. One of the advantages of being born in a non-Jewish world is that you can look to the Jewish nation and to the Jewish people from outside. And now, I'm very happy about it. When I think back, sometimes also when I think about all the that you see that there are. You're living in a country, there are a lot of differences, and that you're thinking, you see a lot of people discussing, and then I'm thinking back about the time that I was in the Christian world. Actually, what I saw there, when I was in the Christian world, I saw there was one nation. I didn't see a difference between a person with a kippah or not a kippah. It was a Jew. I didn't see a difference. I saw a Jew, especially in the land of Israel. That was... And also, when I was a pastor, this was of the main things we couldn't get around. We couldn't avoid the fact that the nation of Israel was back in the land. I remember when I was studying also theology, there was even certain churches that had a big problem with 1948. Because then there was the state of Israel was born. And the Jewish people came back to the land of Israel. And a lot of churches had a theology, okay, the Jewish people in the past, they had a relationship with God and they had the promises were for them, but not anymore. And then, it didn't matter what people thought about it. Even when a majority thinks about what is that something is right, the truth is not going to be changed what people think about it. The truth is the truth. So you also can question the truth. It doesn't change by it. So also for me, that was one of the challenges to ask questions about my truth. And a lot of churches, I think the biggest thing is why Christians are not getting out of Christianity is the point that they have a box and they said, okay, God showed me the truth, but it needs to be within this box. It's not outside the box. And because it's scary. And as you know, Christianity is actually a religion of fear. When I go back to my youth, one of the things what was bothering my mind most is where I'm going to end up. Am I going to end up in hell or in heaven? And I was raised in an environment that they said in this environment, most people are going to hell in the world. And for me, it was such a strange thing. I said, oh, but even the people in the church, they don't have a guarantee going to heaven. So I was all the time bothering about the idea, how do I go to heaven? And to be in a Christianity was the most safe way. But as you know, the most of the Christians, they are thinking about the same question. They don't asking questions. They don't go to ask questions about the truth of Christianity, because then they have the chance of going to hell. So people don't do it. So I was raised with this question. But when I was searching in my life for the truth, at a certain point, I was not so Excuse me? You hear me? Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
No, no, he said nothing with the box. It's just a tree.
Right.
So, to go back, I was raised in a very Orthodox Protestant world. And in my youth, I was questioning about where do we end up and what is God? And I had a very strange picture about God, that God was actually a person or a something that is very angry with people. And you know that also he chose people to be punished to go to hell. And I had a very weird idea about it. And actually, because that also, that was one of the things that I felt from inside, is there is something not right. It's something I cannot live with this idea. So after a while, I also was going out of a little bit. I started to be less religious, but it doesn't mean that I gave up the ideas about Christianity. I started to become less religious. Also looking around the world, I traveled a little bit around. I went to Indonesia, I went to America, Canada, also to the Middle East, to other countries besides Israel. I was searching, and there was a search inside me. What is good? What is good for a person? And I felt there must be a certain goal and it must be a certain good thing as a person. So when I was thinking about it, at a certain point I came to the conclusion, I know what is good for a person. For a person it's good to live according to the instructions of his creator. And I also thought of myself, because I was raised up with a lot of stories from the Bible, that when God is the real, the creator, when the Bible is truth, it means also that whatever question I have about what to choose, I can ask God for the question, and he'll show me one or other way, which direction, which choice I have to make. So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about it, am I going to be a religious person of this? This was one of the important thing I was thinking about. When I really want to live or want to be a religious person, then I must believe that God is capable to send me in a direction. It's not like, okay, I'm going somewhere and you live your life and you have a certain instructions, a clear instruction, but you have also other instructions where you have a free choice in, and you just go, you just live. For me, that it didn't make sense. So at that time, I started to make a choice and said, okay, I'm going to be to live according to the instructions of God, because when I'm made by God, then this is the best thing to do. It was for me very logic. For example, when you buy a car or a telephone, you look inside the instructions to see how to use the telephone or the car best. When you handle with the telephone or with the car according to its instructions, then it works perfect. But for example, when you use the telephone as a hammer, it doesn't last long, as you can understand. So I thought by myself, so it's very important, it's good, and I think this is the missing thing, that's what I thought by myself, that I should go live according to the instructions of God. But right when I made the decision also to believe in the fact that God will answer me, instead that it brought me deep into Christianity, this was also the key of having questions. So I decided when I started to be, of course, I said when I'm going to be, to live to God's instructions in the best possible way, I started to be a Christian, a devout Christian, because I was raised as a Christian. Most of the Christians, they don't ask questions because of the reason that they are raised as a Christian. They believe that what the parents said is right. And as my mother had said to me time after time, how can millions of people be wrong? And when I tell, when I'm asking her, and what about the Muslims? There are also millions of people who are Muslim. And that's it, I don't have the answer. But she said, but my father, my parents, they were such honest people, real people. How can they be wrong? She said, you always have to look for yourself. But she said, no, I don't doubt about what they're saying. And most of the Christians, they don't doubt about Christianity only for this reason. The other thing is, in Christianity, let's say when you have when you're talking about faith in Christianity and Judaism, it's two different things. In Christianity, when you're talking about faith, then you must believe something even when you cannot understand it. For example, when in Christianity says something, someone, this is a screwdriver, you have to believe it. And of course, you need a lot of faith to believe it, right? And that's faith according to Christianity. When somebody says, this is a screwdriver, I say, yeah, this is a screwdriver. I don't see it, but I believe it, because I have to believe it. So that's why also, this is also the strength of Christianity. They can tell you anything, and you have to believe it. You don't need to prove it. So that's why a lot of churches, the people don't ask questions. They ask questions, but within the box. But not about real questions about certain things in Christianity that it's not logic. But for me, at the time when I started to be a devout Christian, as I said, every time when I wanted to make a decision, I was praying to God. I said, I want to go for the truth. One of the reasons was because that you have in Christianity, you have a variety of churches, a lot of churches. And it's not like the difference in Judaism. In Christianity, I also found out later that Christianity, you are friends with somebody because you have the same ideas. As soon as you don't have the same ideas, you are not a friend. So here, now I learned in Judaism, you can be a friend even when you have two different opinions. It's even good to have different opinions. In Christianity, basically, when you don't have the same opinion about Christianity, even within, you have different churches, when you have a different opinion, you don't have a relationship with the other anymore. That's what happened, and I saw it in years after years. When you're in the same church, you have friends. And as soon as you have a question, you come into another church, you don't have any friends. So you're not having friends because out of respect, that you love each other because the other one is also a person. So when I was in Christianity and I was asking, I was all the time praying because I thought I was on the right thing. But actually, that was the biggest, for me, the biggest change. Because when I was asking God, and I was as a Christian, I was asking honestly, God, I want to know the truth. What church to take? Where to go? And when I was reading the Bible, when I opened the Christian Bible, I said, God, I want to know, what can I learn today? And very soon, when as a Christian, the question started to come. And instead of that, I start to be deeper in Christianity, I start to have all kinds of questions. And the first question I had is, how is it possible that when I really become a reborn Christian, my life is not changed? You ask, why are you asking this question? You have to know, according to the Christian theology, when you are a reborn Christian and you accept the Christian Messiah as your Savior, then your life automatically is going to be changed by the power of God. And you are automatically going to do good things. But I said to myself, I have to be very honest with myself. If I don't change, nothing happens. So this was my first question to the pastor. The pastor was my of this church. It was a church of 1,000 people. He was a very good friend of mine. And in this time also, I started to study theology. I went to I wanted to be a pastor in this big church. And in order to be a pastor, you had to go to a certain university. So I asked the pastor, how is this possible? Please, can you explain me this thing? And he said, you just have to believe. You just have to believe. You have to take your time. It takes a time. It takes longer and longer. I said, but when I see the Christian Bible, it should be right away. It should happen. And the other thing, when I was praying and I was reading the Bible, and of course when I was reading the Christian Bible, 75% of the Christian Bible is talking about the future of Israel. So I asked the pastor, how is it possible that no pastor is talking about the future of Israel, that the people of Israel is back in the land of Israel, that it is a good thing, and it's our Christian Bible is full with it. And yeah, no. They first have to return to Christianity, then it's important. It's 75%. And he couldn't give me an answer. And I start to have more and more questions. And at a certain point, this pastor, he said to me, I said to him, you never have questions? He said, I'll be honest with you. When I would have questions like you, and when I think where it would end, I would lose my job. So I'm not going to ask these questions, because when I think about it, it only can result in the fact that I lose my job. So why should I think about it? I said to him, it's very honest, but it's not sufficient for me. So after a while, I got more and more questions, also in the school, the university, where I was going, I got more and more questions. So I started to look to another school. So I went to another school, a theological school, let's say a school where they had more freedom of thinking. So I ended the years over there. But in the meantime, I had so many questions in the church that the board of the church, they at a certain point, they came to the conclusion to throw me out of the church. The reason was not only, they saw me as a kind of a threat, because in the meantime, I was a youth leader. So I was talking with the youth in the church also about the things in life, and also the things I had questions about, I asked them about it. And I asked them, because a lot of these young people, they went, they did all kinds of things, and on Sunday they went to church. So I spoke with them, how can you have a life 6 days without God, and Sunday a few hours with God? Said, when you're honest with yourself, you're cheating. You must know that you're cheating. And there was a movement in this church. Young people, they start to search for what is truth. But they, of course, they also went to their parents and asking questions and to the board. And at a certain point, the board of the church, they said, get out of the church. Let's say we were allowed to stay in the church, but we were put into the ban. It means that we were the sinners of the church. We are not allowed to participate with any of the activities in the church, not the communion, etc., etc. So at the time, so we said with this group of young people who were sent out of the church, let's look to another church. Maybe we find another church who has, let's say, a vision about what's happening in Israel. In the place where I live, there are 40 churches. I visited them all. I spoke with the board about it. No church had anything said they wanted to have anything to do with Israel. They said, okay, we like Israel and it's good. Maybe some said it's the people of Hashem, but the fact that the people live now back in the land, it has nothing to do with us. It's maybe for the future. So I said, I cannot be there. So then with the group of people, they said, we have to set up a new church. I said, okay, on the one condition, that we go for the truth. We've seen there are now some mistakes in the church, and that we go for the truth. And when I was praying, I also, in the time when I was, I have to tell, when I was asking God for guidance, for things, I thought by myself that sometimes I could define much clearer which way to go than other times. There was a difference. And I was looking to myself, the moment I trusted Hashem that He would send me in the right direction, there was a much greater awareness of what to do than at the moments that I was afraid, angry, and a lot of things that I didn't know what to do, that I said, no, God is not, maybe not giving me direction. At these moments, I had a much less awareness of what to do and which direction to go. At the moments, I said, okay, I don't know which direction to go, but I believe that God is helping us in the right direction. Then I also realized it. And even in the time that we were thrown out of the church, of course, a lot of people were talking to us, how can this be a good thing? You're thrown out of the church, you're making quarrel. How can this be a good thing? And then I was sitting by myself, and I was asking God, I said, God, these people are all telling that I'm doing bad things. But for me, it's an honest question. And I was sitting there for an hour or 2 hours thinking about it. I realized this is the right thing. So then I continued. So I was at that moment not afraid also to whatever the people were telling. Because also in the time already there were some people who wrote articles in the newspaper that I was kind of a bad person who was making troubles in the church. So when I became a pastor in this church, it was in June 1998. So in October 1998, it was Sukkot in Israel. And I remember I was reading the newspaper and I saw Sukkot in Israel. And I was asking, God, is there something I can learn from this? And when I was thinking about it, I realized I have to do something with it. So I opened my Bible. And then I was in a terrible shock. I opened the Bible in the and it was what I read, it was Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 is written in the future, all nations will go to Israel and celebrate Sukkot. And the nation will not go to Israel for Sukkot, it will get no rain. And I was in a shock because when I was asking and was praying about it, and I realized I have to do something with it. And I opened the Bible, I saw, for me, there was no coincidence. I said, I must do something with it. So I went to the church, we had a preach, and I said, guys, I have a big problem. I've read something, and it's very interesting, and I think we should do something with it. And then I read the verse, and all people said, you never read it. And of course, was it true that I never read it? Yes, no, it was not true. I read it at least 7 times in my life. Because in my home we had a tradition, when I grew up, that after every meal we read a pasuk out of the Christian Bible. So we started with Bereshit, with Genesis, and then we finished the Tanakh, and then we went further with the Christian part. And then when we ended it, we started from the beginning. So, as I remembered, at least I must have read it 7 times in my life. But I didn't. And I was thinking, how is it possible that it never came up to me that this verse was written? Now I understand. Because as a Christian, we read the Bible in a very special way. You had to see my Bible when I was a pastor. I had a text marker. The verses which I understood, I marked. They fit into my ideas. But the verses I didn't understand, I left them blank. So when you saw it, you saw all colors. And that's actually what Christianity is, because the way how Christianity reads the Bible is in a systematical theological way. So they have a concept, the concept that the Christian Messiah is the Messiah and is everything important, and they grab here and there a verse out of it, out of the Tanakh, and they said, okay, here, Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant, it's about the Christian Messiah. So when you ever have the chance to meet a missionary on the street, and he wants to convince you, he said, okay, let's see your Bible. And let's see, what is it, this verse? Oh, let's see what's written before and after it, if the things what you're telling is true. And then always you come to the conclusion what this person is telling is completely nonsense, because he's taking it out of the context. He said, no, I don't see it, what you're telling. Prove it to me. Later, when I came out of Christianity, this was one of the things I did also with some other people, and they stepped also out of Christianity after it. So, just the reading, even the Christian Bible, with all the mistakes they have in the translations. So, at the time, when I was about Sukkot, I was speaking about in the church about Sukkot, and again, for me, it was a conviction, this is what Hashem wants to push me in a certain direction. So, when I spoke about it in the church, the people said, wow, yes. So what shall we do? I said, okay, we are going for the truth. We are going to celebrate Sukkot. Yeah, that's easier said than done. How shall we celebrate Sukkot? We didn't have the oral Torah. So what did I do? I read the written Torah. I said, okay, there's written, you should take branches from trees and nice looking fruits. I said, okay, branches from trees, that's easy. We went outside, took some branches from trees, and then said, lie nice looking fruits. What's a nice looking fruit? I say, oh, that maybe depends on every person. I like a pineapple. So what did I do? I took branches and a pineapple. And then the guy next to me, he had an orange. And the guy on the other side had an apple. And we were just, oh, we have to wave it. And we were waving, oh, we have to build a sukkah. We built a sukkah. And there were, when you would see the halacha about the sukkah, one thing, it didn't look like a sukkah. One thing was right, it was not strong. Because when I pushed it, it collapsed right away. That was my sukkah. But you have to understand, on one hand, it was a strange thing. And also people from other churches said, these guys are completely mishugan, and they're taking fruits and they're waving it in the church. But for me, I said, yes, logic, for me, logic, on one hand, it's strange, an idiot. But on the other hand, I see it written in the Bible. But for me, the conviction more was, I know we have to go this direction. So even where people were going out of the church, they said, okay, everybody is free to go what he wants or what he believes, so go. This is not a church that you're here for all your life. If you think this is the thing that you want to continue, when you want to also to go for to search for the truth, then you join it. And if not, you leave. So people left, but also other people came into the church. Because there were more people who were interested in it. At the time, I became also a chairman of an organization like Christian Friends for Israel. And 40 churches in Holland became a part of this organization. For this organization, first we had meetings with other pastors, with the 40 pastors from the other churches, and also I was invited to speak also in other churches about Israel, because some people thought it was quite interesting. And what from this time, what was interesting for me, I saw that in the church, when I was speaking about the Sukkot and about the connection with Israel, there was some 10% of the people who really were connected with it. And I was asking myself, how is it possible that 90% is not connected with it? They read the same Bible. Now when I'm looking back, I think these 10%, they have somewhere Jewish roots. They have Jewish blood. In Holland, there were a lot of hidden Jewish souls. In 1492, after the expel of Spain, of the Jewish people, a lot of Jews went to Holland. And a vast majority, they hide their identity. They mixed with the Christian population. But these Jewish souls are there. From this group, 150 years ago, a group went to South Africa. And these people, they said, we are going to the promised land. And they took South Africa, but there was a search. And even when they were in South Africa, they were later called the Voortrekkers. They traveled through the country. They didn't have rest, like the wandering Jew. And I see, now also, when I've been in South Africa last year, to visit people, I see there are people connected with the Torah, with Judaism in a special way. Not everybody, but you see there is a group of people. And what I saw in this time, I see also in Holland there is a group of people who have a connection. And of course they have a choice what to do. But I saw also in this group there is more a tendency of asking questions and celebrating Shabbat. So when I was when we are doing the Sukkot, of course after it I was questioning myself, how is it possible that, how did it happen that the church didn't celebrate Sukkot? So it took some time, it took actually some years when I was digging into the archives, and actually after I had contact with a person who studied in the Vatican, it was he had access to the archives of the Vatican, and he wrote a book about it, and his book was mainly focused on the Shabbat, but also we mentioned Sukkot, and he explained very clearly also from the sources that the Christianity got rid of the Sukkot and of the Shabbat and of Pesach out of anti-Semitic reasons. And I was in a complete shock when I read about it. And the first time in my life I also read about Martin Luther, that he was an anti-Semite. When I was teaching in my youth, we were celebrating the day that Martin Luther was revolting against the Roman Catholic Church, that he was a big hero. And only later they did never learned us, teached us in the church that he was the biggest anti-Semite that the Christianity ever had. They didn't say it, and it was in a shock. So we were speaking in the church, how is this possible? How is this possible? We found more things. So in this time, you can understand, in a matter of time, we stepped out of, we didn't celebrate Easter, we didn't celebrate Christmas, and we started to celebrate Pesach, and also Yom Kippur, of course in a Christian way, because we tried to fit it into Christianity. Because still, I didn't have the idea to leave Christianity. But on the other hand, I realized this was a further beginning, a further searching, a further proceeding. When I was praying about it, I realized I have to go this direction. Now, I also ask sometimes myself, why? When I was praying for it, why God didn't show me in one day everything? Why? Why it took something like 7 years? For me it's now very clear. When I would have known it the first day, I would have gone completely crazy. I couldn't handle it as a person. So God was gracious with me to take it step by step. Otherwise it was already the realization that Christianity was not true. It was like an enormous shock emotionally. And now it was step by step. So after I realized about Shabbat and about all these things, then of course I came to a point that it's not only the holidays, it's not only the Shabbat, it's the complete Torah. I came to the, for me it was a revelation that the Torah was still valid. Now I have to tell you that also in the same time I came to Israel for encouragement trips for the Jewish people. And in the beginning we went to churches from Jews who became Christian. And in the beginning it was nice, But also at a certain point and I was realizing that the Torah was still true, so there was for me something like, how is this possible? This church don't keep the Torah because they're Jewish. And I remember it, and it was the last time that I was invited to speak over there. It was in Tel Aviv and in Jaffa and in Tveria. It was in the same weekend I had when I was here in Israel, I was invited. So I asked them in Jaffa, it was the first meeting that weekend, said, you guys, you are Jewish people. So why are you not keeping the Torah? And you can imagine the pastor said, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. He said, please prove to me. I said, from your Christian Bible. From your Christian Bible, I can prove to you that the Jews should keep the Torah. And for me, the amazing thing is that half of the people from the church, they were like, wow, they are just mixed up. So they'll stay there for a while and they'll come out of it. And in Tveria was the same. And they shut me up. They said, stop, don't talk about it. I said, please, if you can prove me that it's what I'm telling, that it is not truth, show it to me. They couldn't. They couldn't do it. So it convinced me further. Hey, I have to go in this direction. So then, at that time, I also have to say that 5 years before I was married, we didn't have children. At a certain point, when I realized that the Torah was truth, my wife got pregnant. And when I was praying about it, also I was just praying, then I realized I was something about the Brit Milah. So at a certain point, I got the conviction, the child you will get, it will be a boy. And when it will be a boy, you have to do Brit Milah for him. It's easy said. How do, even if it's a boy, we have to do Brit Milah. So I was finding out, and I realized there was one clinic in Holland who do Brit Milah for non-Jewish boys. And they work on Shabbat. They do normally only for non-Jewish people, for Muslims, and other people who do it for another reason. So I said to myself, okay, if it's a boy, he will be born on Shabbat. And the baby was born. It was a boy, but it was born on the Tuesday. And Tuesday, and he said, Hashem, I thought that it was for you, from you. So how can I do the circumcision on the eighth day when they only operate on Shabbat? And I was thinking and praying about it. 2 days later, somebody called me. Still don't know, I don't remember the name of the person anymore. What he said, I have a telephone number of a mohel who also do Brit Milah for non-Jewish boys. Are you interested? I said, yes, of course, give me the number. He gave me the number, I was calling him. So I was calling this mohel. He was a reform mohel. So I was calling him. I said, I have a boy. I'm not Jewish. I have Jewish ancestors. But I'm not Jewish. I'm a Christian. But I want to do a Brit Milah. You know what he says? If you pay me, why not? So
He was Jewish.
So I went over there. But then I had a discussion with my fellow pastor. One of the fellow pastors, because I said I also, there was a group of pastors we had a regular meeting with. And when I was talking about that, I want to do a Brit Milah for my son, they said, no, you never can do it. You know, when you do a Brit Milah, you disconnect yourself from Christianity. And I had a lot of, there was a lot of rumor about it. Again, I went home, I was asking Hashem, do I make a mistake? And I was sitting half an hour, 2 hours, I had a conviction in my heart, this is the right thing. So I thought to myself, what these people said, it's not important for me. I go for what is right. And I thought to myself, also people said to me, you can make a mistake. I said, yes, I can make a mistake. But I'm so convinced that God is much bigger than me, that even when I make a mistake, he'll turn it in the right thing. Because there is written in Proverbs that when you bring your way, all your way of thinking to Hashem, then he will guide you in the right way. So I was discussing with the pastor, said, is this verse true or not? Yes, this is true. So if I make a mistake, is God able to correct me? Basically, we believe yes. So why worry? Yeah, but when you do it, it's written, you have the Christian Bible. I said, God is above everything. He can guide me. So I believe this is the right thing. Said, you know what? I have a challenge for you. And there was one of the pastors who was very close to me. He said, I have a challenge for you. Come with me to the Brit Milah of my son. Ask to Hashem if it's right. Whatever God says to you, I believe. I was very convinced about it. And I was praying Hashem. I said, please, I want to know the truth. I won't go for the truth. So when we went over there, this pastor was also with me and some of my family members. So first we're drinking coffee, and then we went to the other room. Said the Moa, I said, come to the other room, and then we do the Brit Milah over there. So when we walk in there, I hear somebody was falling on the floor. So I looked around, and I saw this pastor who was with me. He was falling on the floor. It seems to me that he got a heart attack. So I went to him and said, what's going on? I was a little bit in shock, and I didn't know what to do. So at that moment, I was questioning myself, shall I continue or not? And then this pastor said, go on. I said, but you almost get a heart attack. No. Everything is fine. I said, you sure everything is fine? He said, everything is more than fine. I said to myself, fine is for me something different thing. So it's on the floor. But he said, okay. I go. I continue. He continued. He did everything. I was really nervous when everything was happening. And with the blood and the crying of the baby, for me it was, what I'm doing? But then when I was thinking, I asked Hashem, and I know. When I ask him, and I, out of this conviction, I make the choice, then even when it's a mistake, he will correct me, he will help me. So, when everything was finished, I went back to the pastor. He was going to sit on the floor. And I said, how is everything? He said, more than good. I said, what do you mean more than good? Everything is good. And he was sitting on the chair. I said, I have to tell you something. I said, what do you want to tell me? I said, when I was laying on the floor, it was if I was in a dream here in the garden. I was sitting on the benches over there. I said, what do you want to say with it? I have to tell you. I said, last year I was sitting over there on the cardo. It was also with Scott. And I said, when I opened my Bible. And then when I opened my Bible, I saw the verse, one day the old people will be sitting in the streets of Jerusalem and the children were playing around. And I was reading it, and I said, I looked around. I said, first time in my life, I realized this was going to happen. So I knew that I experienced something new, but I have to take it into consideration. So I said, so that's very nice. I said, when I saw this, I realized what's happening with you, the Brit Milah, is a good thing. Even I don't have an answer on it. It's a good thing. So we discussed it later also with the other pastors. How can this possible? When you do a Brit Milah, you disconnect yourself from Christianity. It's very clearly written in the Christian New Testament. I see all the verses in the Tanakh that it is an eternal time for the people of Israel. And I even said at the time, I said, I'm even convinced when thanks to the fact that the Jewish people kept this covenant, that they are now coming back to the land. I said, it's connected for me. And we had a big discussion about it. But you can imagine, when my son is circumcised, then after a few weeks I was thinking by myself, it's not logic that your son is circumcised and you're not. I said, no, I don't want to think about it. I said, I don't want to think about it. But I said, okay, why you don't pray for it? And I was praying. And the more I was praying for it, the more it became clear for me. But at the other hand, I wanted to say, no. But after 2 months, I said to myself, don't fool yourself. In everything you're asking Hashem for guidance, and you take a decision, and now you're waiting. So I said to myself, okay, I'm going to do it. So I said it in the church, I'm going to do. I said, next week I'll be earlier from the service because I'm going to do Brit Milah. And then also one of the persons, they was calling the other pastor, now he's going to do it himself. And they were telling to me, you're going to disconnect yourself from Christianity. No. Now, afterwards, I see that there was a certain truth in it. Because after my circumcision, the real questions about Christianity started after it. It was like I start to read the Bible in a different way. And I have to tell you, when I was going there the next week to the... somebody brought me over there to the clinic. And I was, all the time for me, because it was not a thing that I was looking forward to, I was praying to Hashem, is this the right thing? I hoped that Hashem said, no, it's not necessary for me. But it was... So I went over there, and I was sitting there in the room, and there was this waiting room was full with children, all the people. And also people who were out of who just had the circumcision, and they had to later to check if everything was good. And they were crying, so it was an encouraging thing. So, that was my turn, and when he finished the circumcision, for me it was really like an experience, a positive spiritual experience. I didn't understand, but I realized it's much more than taking a piece of skin away. When I get out of the room, and my two persons who were driving with me, they asked me, how was it? I said to them, amazing. And when I was looking, around, everybody was looking to me like and then I realized, okay. So I said, okay. After the check, after the half an hour was the check, everything was good. I went home. I must say the healing was in an amazing way. But I felt also when I was praying about it, there is something changed. So, of course, we had a discussion with the other pastor, why you didn't, I said, no problem, I'm still the same, I still believe in Christianity, what's the problem? But then, I had this problem with this Messianic church. They were not so happy with me. But I continued to go with groups to Israel. So I said, you know what? Let's go to the settlements. Because when I read in the newspaper, the people in the settlements are the most bad and extreme people. These Orthodox Jewish people, they're stubborn. And according to my experiences, also in the time I had experience with the journalist, when I was talking about Israel, and they were always bending the truth. When I said something, they put it others in the newspaper. So I thought, maybe about these Orthodox Jews over there, it's probably also changed. So let's visit them. So what we did, I said, but how are you going there? I didn't have any contact with the Orthodox Jews over there. So we went there to Israel. In the morning, I took a map, and I started to ask Hashem, I want to go to a certain place. Please help us, send us to a place. Why I want that place? And I was just looking at the map. Oh, this is a nice place, this is a nice. And so we went. The first place where we came was Har Bracha. And we met an Orthodox Jewish person who had a vineyard over there. And I remember that I was in a terrible shock. Because when I was speaking with him, how he spoke about serving God, loving God, it was a complete confrontation with my own beliefs. Because according to my Christian faith, somebody could only have a connection with God when he accepted the Christian faith. Then he could have a connection. But for me, it was very clear, these people have a connection with God without it. And in the beginning, I said, okay, I don't have an answer on it. But every time when I came back to Israel, and I have to say, every time when I came to Jerusalem, here to the Kotel, it was when I came there and when I left it, new questions start to come. And I was reading the Bible, one of the first questions was, according to Christianity, the Jeremiah 31, there is a verse about talking about the new covenant. I don't know if you remember it, about there will be in the future days, there will be a new covenant, and God will renew, and the signs of the new covenant is that all Jewish people will serve, live according to the instructions of Torah, and they will all live forever in the land of Israel. And I read it, and said, according to the Christian Messiah, the new covenant started 2,000 years ago. But when I read very carefully, it is written that the signs of the new covenant is that all the people live in the land of Israel, and they all will observe Torah. He said, in these 2,000 years it didn't happen. So he was asking to the other pastors, do you have an answer? He said, no, we never asked this question. We only took his own one verse. We never read it. He said, well, we don't know. We'll find out later. But for me, it was not sufficient. And there was this question, and one after the other question was adding up. And I said, okay, I asked God for wisdom. Please, God, help me to understand it. But the more I was praying, the more questions I got. So I thought to myself at a certain point, how is this possible? I get more questions. I thought when I pray more and ask God more for help, then I become more devout Christian. But it was the other way around. So at a certain point, I was in Othniel, and somebody said to me, and I had the same experience, you should go to Susia. So I said to myself, okay, I have to remind this, Susia. So at the next trip, I went, it was in December 2003, I went to Susia. And over there we were invited in the home of the Maskir Panim, over there, the secretary, his name is Israel Feld. And so he came over there, and he invited us. We had a meal, gave us coffee, and we had a talk. And again, I said, how can I explain that this man has such a connection with God? How is this possible? And for me, it was a big question. And Israfel said, come, I take you to, I took you around. So he brought us to one of the outposts around Susia, and he brought us to a yeshiva teacher of the yeshiva Tichonit over there. His name is Shisha Tzur. And he said, welcome to my home. And I had the same experience that this man, whatever he was talking, it's about, I felt that the presence of God was there. And I said, how is this possible? So then I asked this Jisha, he said, what are you coming to do here as a group? And for me it was something automatic. I said to him, I grabbed this tzitzit, said, we are people from the nation. We see that God is with you, so we want to go with you. And for him it was a terrible shock. You ask yourself why. Because a few days before he was studying the Talmud and the Tanakh, and he saw this verse, it's written, in the future, I think it's Zechariah 10, it's written, in the future, there will 10 people from the nation will come and grab the tzitzit of a Jewish man, and they will tell him, I want to go with you because we see God is with you. Now you have to know we were with them with 10 people. And it was for him like, is this the times of Messiah? For him it was really, and then later, okay, he realized, okay, it's but for him it was like, so I also, and we spoke about serving God, and I realized I have to go back to this man. And when I was praying, I have to go back to this man. So the next time I came there, it was in February, but then I came alone without anybody else. And I met him, we were drinking coffee, and he said, last time you were here, you told me that you believe that the Torah is true, but also that you are a Christian, that you believe that the Christian Messiah is God. He said, please, I said, explain it to me. Why you believe this? Because according to the Torah, this is Avodah Zarah. And it was for me. And after when he said it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Maybe he's right. But when I was thinking about that fact, that when he would be right, it means that I lose my job. And in this time, I had a respectable job. I was invited in a lot of churches to speak about Israel. I lose probably my friends and maybe also my family. So I said, don't think about it. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. When I was praying, I have to go back. So, and then I had the same experience also in Negohot. His name was Nachamia Krakover. The same thing. And I was questioning myself, how shall I solve it? You know what? I said, I'm going to ask him all the questions I have, and ask him his explanation. How do Judaism think about it? Maybe I get some rest. Maybe I find an answer. But I also, at the other end, said, oh, this is a dangerous thing. But I said, when I want to be honest with myself, I have to ask it. So, it was with Shavuot 2004. We came in Israel, and I said it also with a group from the church, and I shared what I did also in the church. Every time when I had questions, I tried the people also to ask themselves questions and to give the answers. And although when they didn't have the answer, they had the questions. So when we came over there, I said, I asked this question to these teachers. So, first visit was in Susia. And this was the first time somebody explained Judaism to me. Before, I had some questions, I read some things. I met some Jews outside the land of Israel, but I can tell you, a Jew outside the land of Israel, inside the land of Israel, that's a big difference. That's really a big difference. For me, it was like outside the land of Israel, okay, you see them walking, but inside the land of Israel, that's something. So, when we came over there and he was telling, simple, what is Judaism? Answered my questions, I knew this is the truth. And then, I didn't sleep for 2 nights. Because I thought to myself, if this is the truth, and I want to be honest with the truth, I mean, I lose all my securities, because as a pastor, you had a comfortable life. You have a comfortable future with all your insurances, everything. But I realized when I go for the truth, I lose everything. It means I lose my friends, maybe my family, and it means that I had to go to Israel. And it means I was at that time 40 years old. It means when I go to Israel as a 40 years old person, the chance on work is nothing. After two nights, I said to myself, till this moment, you're asking Hashem for guidance, till this moment. And you're asking for the truth. You know this is the truth. God brought you to this point. How dare I to doubt about the fact that if God is going to help me? I don't know the future. But one thing I know, God will help me. So I decided, whatever it will take, I'm going for. At that moment, when I made the decision to become, to say, okay, I go for the truth, for me, it was... But of course, I knew it for myself at that moment. I didn't tell it to anybody else. There was a big discussion also in the group. People, they also were discussing about it. And of course, a lot of people, they realized this is the truth. When I came back in the church, I didn't say about my decision. First, I spoke with my wife. She said, how was your trip to Israel? I said, amazing, amazing. It was for me the most special trip to Israel. I want to become Jewish. What? I said again, it was a special trip. I want to become Jewish. What happened with you in Israel? You got Meshuggah? He said, stop. Tell me. 7 years, you were a pastor of this church. And this time I was not only a pastor, I was also a missionary. So I went every week on the street in Holland to try to convince people to become a Christian. He said, 7 years, you were the most outgoing missionary in Holland. Every Sunday and later every Shabbat, you told the people you were preaching. Every Tuesday night, we had Bible study. Every Thursday night, we had a Bible study. And every morning, we had a prayer meeting. During these, all these meetings, you were telling how good Christianity is. And now you're going to tell that it is nonsense. I said, to be honest, yes. And for her, it was a big shock. For me, it was a thing that was logic. I had a question. But for her, she approached it in an emotional way. She said, well, it's not true. Then we're going straight to hell. Why would you take this chance? And when we were later, I'm telling now how it went with my wife. Later, she was discussing, you want to become Jewish. Why you should, to become, should we become Jewish? Why not much easier to stay B'nai Noah? And I said to her, think about it. Think about it really, what would you think? I said to her, I think the highest level a person can be is being a Jew, living in the land of Israel, doing the mitzvahs over there. I think this is the ultimate top that a person can get. So think about it. Think about it if you agree. Whatever you think about it, she was thinking about it. She said, I have to choose to be a B'nai Noach. What is a B'nai Noach? He's discussing. He said, what is a B'nai Noach? You're busy with the materialistic things, and that's it. Is that what we want? We said to each other, no, that's not what we want. We have seen the goodness of God. How can we stay B'nai Noach and not going further? And she said, but it will be very difficult. She said, all difficult things, all good things are difficult. There is no person who gets it just like. So I said to her, when we are in the end of our lives, I don't want to be stand in the end of my lives. And I thought, this was the right thing, and I didn't dare to do it. I want to try it. And after some months, and I have to say, because also in this meantime, there was a certain point that in the church, people were asking me, said, we are now 2 months further that you since you were the last time in Israel. In this time, you never mentioned the Christian Messiah. You're only talking about the Rashi, the Rambam, whatever. But not about the Christian Messiah. So what do you believe about him? So to be honest, I don't believe that he's the Messiah. And I know. But the surprising thing is that 70% of the church, they said, I think this is the truth. And it was like a relief. Because in Christianity, a lot of persons doesn't tackle this question. But the 30% who were, they were afraid. The reason that they didn't want to think about it, it was like, what will my family say? What will, and when I go for this, then I lose my job. Etc., etc. So I said to the people, whoever wants, from the church and other, when you know people around, I have a challenge. We go to study all the verses from the Tanakh, which according to Christianity prove that the Christian Messiah is the Messiah and that Christianity is the truth. Let's do it. Take the Christian Bible, no other, no Jewish Bible, just take the Christian Bible. We took 3 months' time. We studied all 428 verses. According to Christianity, there are 428. We studied all verses. After 3 months, nobody was a Christian anymore. So, and then, at the time, also my wife, in the time, my wife got friends, all kinds of friends, Christian friends. You all, we want to be friends with you. The only thing what they wanted to do, they wanted to break our marriage. And at a certain time, and they were telling, this guy, he is a dictator, he decides in the church what to do, nobody has any involvement, and so, and he's brainwashing you, they were telling. And at a certain point, I really couldn't do, and couldn't say anything. And I had to let it go. I said, Hashem, if this is from you, please help me. And after a while, she was thinking, after a while, she said, yes, I cannot see myself. First, the first stage was, she said, okay, for our children, maybe I didn't tell you, my ancestors were Jewish. The grandfather of my grandfather's name was Shlomo Levi, and what I found out recently, that maybe also through my mother's line, I was 100% Jewish. I didn't know, but some family member, they when they go back through my mother's line, they said at a certain point there is, they said this is a Jewish family, but I don't have any proof, but it would clear up certain things for me. But so, also for my wife, she said at the time, okay, I can imagine. This is the best that we can give our children, to go to the land of Israel and to become a Jew. And after a while, she said, this is also what I want. At the time, we were searching for Giur, and it was, we couldn't find a place to study. In this time, my father-in-law, he was also a member of the board of the church, and he wanted also to get out of Christianity. He decided to get out of Christianity, and he got cancer. And very severe. He almost died because also the doctors made a mistake. There was cancer in his bowels, and the doctors, they cut a part of the out, and then they didn't make the connection good. So he almost died. And we are questioning ourselves, how is this possible when we go the right way? How is this possible? We make a good choice, and this bad thing happened. And we didn't have an answer. And then somebody from the church, from our former church, came and he said, you know what? This is the punishment of God, that you left Christianity. Come back to Christianity. And, you know, I was really in a shock. And again, I decided myself, I go back. I take my time. I took 2 days thinking about it. I said, no. This is the right thing to continue. I spoke also with my father-in-law, who was very, he was recovering. And he said, no, continue. This is the right thing. So, now, I have to say you a weird thing. This man who came to tell my father-in-law that it was a punishment, at this moment, he doesn't live anymore. He died of the same sickness. My father-in-law lives with me in Susia, completely healthy. And then I asked myself, why was it necessary that he became sick? We had the opportunity, we had the blessing to see what was the good thing in it. Sometimes you don't see it. We have the good thing that we saw. My father-in-law, he worked for the newspaper business in Holland. And he said, I want to become Jewish, but please help me, because the newspaper business in Holland is always all work on Shabbat, on Saturday. He said, please help me, God. And he was already 55. And no chance on another job. So he became sick for 3 years. He recovered completely. After 3 years, the company said, you can go home, we pay you till your pension. And that was for him the gate to become Jewish at that moment. Otherwise, he was still working. And for him, so we have seen it. So sometimes you don't see it. We saw it. So in the time we were searching for a place to study, we couldn't find it. A lot of rabbis said, you should become Jewish. Why you should? One of them said, are you getting crazy that you want to become Jewish? He said, maybe I'm crazy. It sure will help when I want to become Jewish. They said no. And we had to search for 1.5 years. And all the doors closed. In Holland, we went to the Rabbanut, he said, we even don't want to talk with you. Then, finally, we found in Belgium, we found a rabbi, he was a Saliach from Israel. And he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Drukman. And so I went to him and said, please, we want to become Jews, can we study with you? And he was thinking about it, he said, okay. So we went to study there, in Antwerp, and after something like a year, we came here to Israel and we did our Giur. For me it was, when I did the Giur, it was coming home. It was top of the bill. It was even better than I thought. And for me, right away, I said, okay, what I'm going to do is now we're going to Israel. I had to wait for 1 year for my documents, so we lived in Antwerp. So I had a big discussion in Antwerp, also in the Jewish community. They said, why are you going with 40 years to Israel? You don't find a job. And I said, for me, it's not, it cannot come into my mind that now I become Jewish to stay outside the land of Israel. A Jew should be in the land of Israel. I said, it's for me not possible. You don't get a job. I said, God forbid. I believe that if God helped me now, he will sure will help me in the land of Israel. After the year, we went to the land of Israel, and I have to tell, I haven't been without income one day. Of course, I had to switch sometimes with one and another job. And I'm now cleaning the synagogue. It's one of my jobs. I have two jobs. And I'm so happy that I can clean the synagogue. In Holland, I was a pastor. Before, I was a banker. But to be in the land of Israel, and my ancestors were Levites, so they had to clean the temple. So that I can now clean the synagogue as a tikkun for them, that's something amazing. And you know that when I'm cleaning the synagogue, it's for me the best time, because I cannot study in my book, so I'm talking with Hashem. And it's the best times for me to get inspiration, to get direction, or I listen with my iPhone to some siurim in English. It's the best time. So I realize also that if I didn't have this time, for me, you're busy with a lot of things. And now I have amazing time for this. So now I live in Susia. And I have to tell you, when we became Jewish, there were some big articles in the newspaper. It was in one of the biggest Christian newspapers. There was a big article of 3 pages. And a lot of people, of course, they were telling bad things about it, also to my parents. And mainly my parents were mostly worried. And they think that I'm going to hell. I have to say, one of the pastors, he was also telling to me, you're going straight to hell. When you go into Judaism, you go straight to hell. So when I arrived on Aliyah, I called him and said, if this is hell, it's not so bad. He couldn't laugh about it. I don't understand why. But there were some newspapers, also the television, there were a few programs who were broadcasting, and actually they were warning against me. What the article says, when you are going to close with Israel, when you mingle too close and love Israel too much, you end up like this. That's what the message was. But because of this, there were some people who had the same questions, and because of the article, they stepped also out of Christianity. Said, when he does it, I'm going to do it. So there was a movement until today. We live in an amazing time. The anti-Semitism is increasing, but what I see is that the places where there's the most anti-Semitism, there it's squeezing out the Jewish souls. In April, I have the honor to go to Ireland. Ireland is very anti-Semitic. But since a few months, I get contacts from Ireland, from people said, I don't know what it is, my whole family think I'm crazy, but I want to become Jewish because I found out this is the truth. And there is a whole group. And not only it over there, Ireland, South Africa, what I told you, South Africa, it's families. And it are not like families who are, let's say, who have problems. Are people, educated families, who have a good job. We have now in Susia, we have a family who converted now half a year ago. They were in South Africa. He had a big building company, 250 people were working for him. At a certain stage, they realized, and now also they have found out they have some Jewish blood. The mother of the man, she said recently, I want to tell you, but your grandfather also didn't believe in the New Testament. And there's rumors that there's some Jewish blood. But he only knew it now. But at the time, he felt, I want to convert. But he had a big company. And he tried to sell it. And it was not a good time to sell it. At a certain point, he said, well, you know what? He gave the company away. He gave it to a second man. Here you have it. For me, I want to go to Israel. He came to Israel, no security, no insurance, nothing. They had 1.5 years. It was not the most easy way. Also with the whole procedure in conversion. But he said, this is the truth, and that's why we go for. And they live now happily as Jewish family here. And it's not only. There's another family who had a good university position. They gave up everything. He said, this is the truth. Here we are going for. And for me, this is the reality. To live with Hashem. To live in the land of Israel. You don't have it in the Christian world like living over here. Christian world, of course, there are serious people. Like you have it in other places. But this is the highest level you can get, living in the land of Israel as a Jew. Thank you very much. Are there maybe any questions? Maybe any questions?
How do you deal with or did deal with certain laws which are seemingly discriminatory towards non-Jews, like you said, in Shlosani Goy, the laws of interest that apply to Goyim? How do you deal with that, or how did you deal with that when converted?
That you're not you are not allowed to do all the things.
Repeat the question.
How do you deal with, or did you deal with, certain seemingly discriminatory laws we have in Judaism towards Goyim? Like, for example, we say Shlosh Sani Goy, laws of interest don't apply to Goyim against the Goyim.
For me, these laws, for me, the main thing was in my going my direction was. When I was asking Hashem for guidance, I know this is the direction. So for me, all the things which were written, it was for me, what shall I go? I have a free choice to make what decision I made, and I want to make the right decision which is according to the truth. And that, I know, but for me, didn't affect me. It maybe only encouraged me to continue. So,
keep on mentioning that you have a really strong connection with prayer. Can you give us, like, I guess, advice, like, how we can...
I tell you how we did it, and I tell you how we can still do it. Okay. I tell you, he asked about the connection with prayer, how that worked. And I tell you how I did it, and I still do it like that. Everything, of course, the besides the three times prayer that I do, that we do as a community, when something happens, I ask myself, what does God want with me? With the thing, when an accident or whatever happens. And everything, when I have to make a choice, I'm just talking to Hashem. Like, with this, please help me. And for me, when I'm talking about with it, then I'm going to take my time. Sit there for, and when it's an important decision, to sit like a half an hour. And I'm thinking, what would be the best thing in towards God, and I'm talking with God, and then at a certain point, for me, it's like, this is the right thing. And I'm not doubting about the fact if it's the right or wrong decision, because for me, it's God is able to send me the right direction. And even when it's going through this to there, this is not the point. Every time, I believe God will give me enough wisdom to make the right decision. So, it's, but I have to say, the moments that I'm afraid, and I'm not trusting, I'm not aware of anything. I only feel the fear, or the anger, or whatever. And I think for me, the most difficult battle is against the Yetzer Hara, against, and the most difficult thing is about not to trust Hashem. For me, it's a daily that, no, I trust Hashem. I see all the things, and then I have to make to clear my mind, and no. I see all these things happening. This is not, these are only signs, and for me it's a sign to come back to Hashem. That's the thing.
You said before how, like, at one point, like, you sat down with the church and you proved to them why.
Yes.
But I told you. So today, do you ever find yourself trying to prove to Christians that Judaism is true, or do you still do their own
thing? No. I'm trying to prove that Judaism is true towards Christians. No, I have a website which only explains for missionaries why a Jew never will accept Christianity in Christian language, so that they understand it. Of course, this has a side effect that people step out of Christianity because of it, when they read it. But for me, it's not a goal at all to convince anybody. When a person is a good person, what I like is that people step out of Christianity. So I work now for Bet Moria in Beersheba, and one of the things we do, we work now with a team of three persons, and all three, we have a Christian background. What we do, we go to places where we are invited, mostly non-Jewish places. And I've been, the last time I was few months ago, I was in Holland, I was in three churches. I come in this church, in one of the churches, I was there, they literally almost threw me out. And one of the pastors said, I want to hear what he's talking about Israel. So the fact that he invited me in the church and think that I'm a person who have a relation with God is already breaking an idol. Because according to Christianity, when I stepped out of Christianity, there is no hope of return. That's why missionaries have the most problem with people who convert to Judaism, because there is no hope of return to Christianity. That's their belief. They said when once somebody has been a Christian, so for all the Jews who haven't been a Christian, they, you're an object of missionizing, but for them, no. So when somebody, when a church said, I want, please tell something about Israel, and they invite me and they say, I believe you're a God-fearing person, then already there is an idol broken. So what I do, I'm telling just what's happening over here. And this in this church, I was there and people said, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's amazing things that are happening in Israel. And when they only say that, it's for me amazing. Because this is the first step out of their lies. And when they could be, when they know us, that's wonderful. But I don't try, what I try to do, for me, it was the biggest challenge that a Jew was sitting with me and drinking coffee. That was for me the biggest danger. So what I'm doing with them, I'm not attacking them, that you're not right. I said, you're a good God-fearing person, with the deepest of my heart. Also, when I see my parents, they, from their honest belief, they are God-fearing. And I said, yes, that's true. And we have a talk. And that's the biggest danger for them. Because at a certain point, they say, wow, wow, this person, he really also loves Hashem. Then there is there is one big thing, a theology, a dogma from Christianity broken. Because according to Christianity, according to the Christian Bible, it's not possible. And when they say, it is possible, when they agree it, then there is a big thing. So now in the coming months, within a half year, I hope to go to Holland, Belgium again, to the same places, but also new places, to new churches. They invite me also to Ireland, also to Scotland, also to Northern Ireland. We also go to America. We have a person now working. Her mother is a Messianic Jew. Her father is a Christian. She's a Baal Teshuvah. We are from South Africa with somebody who also had a Christian background. And they are invited over there. They were on television also. And people are kind of nervous. They want to know what is with them. There is a fear and the others are nervous. And I see that Hashem is opening the doors. Because also when I was the last time, the three times, I said, when I was thinking afterwards, I said, how is this possible that they invited me? That they said, come. It's an amazing thing. So I... Yes. Yes. I'll give you also my email address, then you can or Skype, whatever.
Is there the entire time you're speaking about how close you were with your relationship to Hashem, I feel like you daven as a Christian more than the most Orthodox Jews do. Yeah. Every time you wanted something, you asked Hashem for it, you asked Hashem for guidance.
Yeah.
Is this something you learned from being Christian?
It was, for me, my personal search, and to be honest with myself, when I realized that God is the creator and God is the one who gives directions, it was for me personally a logic thing that I completely depend upon God. And of course in Christianity they teach it, but it's not a reality.
And also, do you think that there's anything at all that the Christians do better in their Avodat Hashem than the Jews?
I believe Christians can be good persons, but I don't think that they can do something better. When there is a Christian who is in this honest way, also searching for Hashem, he's good, but he'll not stay in Christianity. That's the point.
Also, did you feel strange at all before you converted to performing these mitzvot?
No, I tell you something. I didn't tell you about it. Every time, for example, when we start to observe Shabbat, and it was not in the halachic, perfect halachic debate, but it was like, wow. When I stopped eating pork, it was also my physical health went better. My brother, when he starts to eat pork, he gets complete sick. When he eats milk and meat together, he got sick. When I'm talking with him, In the beginning he said, you're terribly bad. But now he says, the fact that I'm now living in the land as a connection with our forefathers, he said, I'm not agreeing with you, but I understand. There is some understanding. My sister also, she said, I disagree with you on the New Testament because my parents learned so, but that you live in the land is Israel and that I have Jewish cousins and nieces, that's for me the amazing thing. So there is, you know, and for me, getting to do more mitzvahs, it was for me like a release. Release out of slavery. Because you think when you don't do the mitzvahs that you're free, but you're not free. Because I really dare to say that for the mitzvahs and for every human person, it's perfect. It's the instructions for a human person to live as a perfect person. Although they don't have the obligation.
How do you explain